You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Do you feel worse about Paul George today than you feel good about DeAndre Ayton?
No, I probably feel better about DeAndre Ayton, but the conversation about Paul George missing, the guy who's known as maybe not being the best in the playoffs, who's actually played really well when his team has needed it. And yesterday he was just having a so-so game, but then he stepped up and really started to ball out in the fourth quarter and make some big shots, including a big three, a drive to the basket too, which took the lead. But he's going to be remembered not for a great fourth quarter. And
Nick Anderson,
he's going to be known for two missed free throws that could have taken a one-point lead to a three-point lead. Instead, got his team ultimately beat when, now they also could have grabbed a rebound after a miss and ended the game. They didn't. Ball went out of bounds. 0.9 seconds on the clock. Lob pass inbounds was immediately dunked by DeAndre Ayton in a perfect pass, a perfect dunk, a perfect pick by Devin Booker, a perfectly executed play. And Monty Williams is a phenomenal coach. Man, he had two or three plays off inbounds, off of timeouts, where he came back with great plays. Mm-hmm. You hear him talking about DeAndre Ayton. What did you say? He needed to smell the gym.
Yeah.
And you can just tell Monty Williams is one of the best coaches in the NBA, without question. Look at what he did with this team this year. I just think Monty's a really, really excellent coach. But
Is Cameron Payne not catching enough love for what he's doing?
I think
doing?
He is on a broadcast. He was. He for sure was on a broadcast. Talking about him a ton.
I mean, they were even talking about, well, Booker is the best.
They said
Booker's
he's
the best player on the team.
But they called, after they won, after they, was it after game one? Maybe it was after game one or after they won the last series. The conversation that I saw on television was that Cam Payne, it's the greatest jump in productivity that they have ever seen in basketball history. To go from what he looked like 2 years ago to who, I mean, guy playing in, what is it, Japan, to who he is now, that they've never seen a jump like that. Now, I would tell you that Christian Wood made a similar jump. I mean, Christian Wood was also playing overseas and has become a legitimate, serious player. But they were talking about Cam Payne being a guy that you didn't think was even going to be stick around NBA for long at all. And now he was the dude yesterday, career high, and just played out of his head.
And what you had said earlier, too, and this is maybe what the Rockets will need to fill in for Christian Wood and Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs, whatever. I think Jalen Suggs almost feels like an adult to me. Jalen Suggs almost feels like he's going to be the guy that's going to be the calming and leader. But if it's Jalen Green, in this article this morning on ESPN, good article about DeAndre Ayton, that he was the right choice, even with Luka and Trae Young in that draft, that Ayton was the right choice for him. It just took a little while. Who helped in his development? Jay Crowder and Chris Paul. Veteran, you know, great leaders that helped him in a direction. And now look at what DeAndre Ayton did last night in helping his team win. That's now it's just another step. And now, you know, the confidence that he's going to have with that is just going to carry forward. But Jay Crowder and Chris Paul both played a huge role. It sure would be nice if the Rockets aren't, you know, if this organization isn't destroyed right now, if this organization isn't, you know, just persona non grata that nobody wants to play at, it sure would be nice to have a couple of guys, maybe not a Chris Paul, you're not going to get that, but influential veterans that can help Christian Wood and whoever that second pick is going to be, and Kevin Porter Jr., as opposed to Kevin Porter Jr., you know, fighting for his guy outside the strip club at 8 in the morning. You know, Kevin Porter, the guy that's in the gym at 8 in the morning.
You need some pressure on Kevin Porter. Can do damn near anything he wants with this team, it seems like, right now, because he is talented and they don't have a whole lot. But once you figure out who you are and what you want to be, once you figure out your pathway, and Daryl Morey, this is, you know, and this is a concern. I don't know the answer. Daryl Morey has constructed, he had a game plan for getting a star here. He didn't have one, and he kept his ear to the ground, found out when James Harden might be available, made a pitch for a team inside the same conference, and eventually got them to bite in one of the most lopsided deals we've ever seen. It'll go down as one of the worst deals in basketball history in terms of what James Harden ended up becoming and what the package that was traded for James Harden ended up becoming. And Daryl knew how to construct. He built from the ground floor up. Once Tracy and Yao were gone, he built up. And then at their precipice, they were a 65-win team, the number one seed, and just, you know, an unfortunate injury away from. And then they still had two games to do it, and they still had a shot. But an unfortunate situation where they weren't able to get to the finals and play what was a very average LeBron-led team from Cleveland. They would have had a really good chance to win the finals there. Most people think they would have won an NBA title. So Daryl built it to that level, but then we know that it careened out off the roadway and crashed after that. I know Daryl knew how what his process looked like and how he went about building it. Now you can nitpick about how he, you know, what he was trying to do to get that team over the hump or any of that stuff, but building it up, he was very good at that. I don't know what Rafael Stone is, because you got it stripped down. So, you know, I know people like, I know Ballard when he went to Indianapolis. I talked to him the very first year he had it, and it was a bad team. It was a bad roster, a bad team, and they had a hurt Andrew Luck. And he said, you know, and his game plan was, we're not playing Andrew Luck this year. He was hurt last year. We got to get him right. He's everything to us. So we're not going to play him, and we'll take the heat. And he had a game plan for building up the trenches, his offensive line, his defensive line. Does Rafael Stone have a game plan? I know football is different than Jeff Leno. He had a game plan. The Astros were torn down to the studs, and he had a game plan for building it up. And part of it included not making dumb expenditures on average players. There's no reason to throw that money away on $10 million for a guy who is gonna maybe factor into to you know, plus or minus four games for a team that won't win 80 games. Won't win 70 games. He wasn't going to do that. They weren't going to spend a bunch of money for a closer for a bad team. It didn't make any sense. He had a game plan, and he stuck with his game plan and built it up. We are willing to take a lot of strikeouts to hit home runs when we're Crush City. Then, once we are able to, we're going to transition into a true analytics model, which is lower swing and miss. Well, okay, that. But lower swing and miss and lower strikeouts. And now they've led the league again, and they're lowest in the league in non-strikeouts again. Mm-hmm. You know, for the third year in a row, I believe it is. So either back-to-back or third year in a row. So the Houston Astros and the Colts, I can't speak to the Texans. I see what their build-out looks like. I see what Daryl Morey, here's his blueprint is here. Here's what the drawings look like. Here's what the engineers say we need to do. Here's the architecture. Unfortunately, and this is not a knock on Rafael Stone, I guess it is, I don't know what his blueprint is. I don't know how much Tillman Fertitta and his son and whoever else is going to be in the middle of this. Are good basketball people, do they have a plan that they can follow to build this out? Because if not, you're going to be like a lot of other organizations that just start taking, you know, you just start bringing pieces together and hope that it hits. You don't have a purpose. What's your plan? What's your process? You know, to truly trust the process. Well, I hope you have a process, because if it's relying on just young talent,
I don't want the Philadelphia process. No. As many mistakes as they made, good
Lord. If it's just young talent that you hope meshes together, at some point you got to say, okay, we need to have leadership in here. We need to have, you know, a veteran presence, or we need a young star who has this type of basketball character, or we want to be explosive in these categories with a big man who looks like this. Like, I don't care what it is, but you better have a game plan that is fully fleshed out for the next 3 years. You have to. You have to have a three-year process. If you don't, then you're not going to know how to build year after year after year. So I just know Jalen Green, man. I kind of, in my heart, I didn't mind the idea of having the second pick, because then I feel like you have your choice of four players. If you had the first pick, it felt like you were locked into Cade Cunningham. If you're second, now you got a choice of four players. It's not the worst thing in the world.
No, I'm kind of happy that it turned out that way. 703-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A POS move. This is becoming the University of Wisconsin basketball team there was a POS move by one of the players, and we'll tell you about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, wash your car, Lance.
Charisma Car Wash, how you wash your car. Listen, I had a bunch of you use the sweet hookup, the code that I'm about to give you here in just a second. Well, let me give you the code. It's 5975. 5975. When you use that car, I mean, when you use that code and you go to one of the three Charisma Car Wash locations, Heights North Loop between Shepherd and Yale, Upper Kirby between West Park and Bissonnette, which is where I went, and then Gulfgate just inside Loop 610 behind Lowe's, you are going to save $10. It's worth $10 off on your Ultimate Package, which is usually $14, goes down to $4, or $17 down to $7 on the Lava Wash, which is the highest package they have. And these are really, really terrific car wash packages. Normally, it's just $6 a month also when you just do a standard drive-through car wash, and that is a high-end drive-through car wash, and that's just $6 in any month at any time. But right now, you got the $10 hookup on Lava or Ultimate Wash. Take advantage of it because it's only going to last through the month of June, so you only have about a week left. Remember, 5975. For more information, you can go to charismawash.com. That's CARISMAwash.com for your nearest location. Stay clean, Houston.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 917, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, the University of Wisconsin basketball team, you know, ever since, it's always been, it's good. It's a good program. It's a really good. I mean, I didn't know. Can you name their head coach? Right now? Yeah.
No, I don't know who it is right now.
Greg Gard.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't know.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the Wisconsin basketball program. It's got a lot of tall white guys. It's what they did. It's the same every year. It's the same thing that they do every year. But apparently the Wisconsin State Journal, the newspaper there, they received a 37-minute audio file this week of a February 19th team meeting that included seven senior players, Greg Gard, and three assistant coaches. The newspaper said it received the recording from an anonymous email account and that the file included a portion of the actual meeting. In that meeting, Nate Ruvers, one of the seniors that met with the head coach Gard, said, "We don't have a relationship and that I personally don't think or feel that you care about our future aspirations." Guard Walt McCrory tells Guard, "I don't know if I'll ever talk to you again after this." So it appears that Greg Guard may not be the most caring head coach, and it appears that his players didn't feel that way anyway, that he didn't have them in mind. It was just winning basketball games or whatever, however Greg Guard went about it. Maybe he threw basketballs at their head. I don't know. Like that Rutgers coach? Remember?
Yes.
I kind of like that guy.
That guy was really
mean. Of course you do.
I kind of liked him. I thought, you know what? You're going to get your point across if you get a basketball thrown at your face. So Greg Gard said this: "It's so disturbing that somebody would take a private family meeting and make it for public consumption. Apparently there wasn't a dry eye in the room afterwards. Greg Gard might not have known how uncaring, how unfeeling he was to this basketball team, and they worked it all out or something to that effect, and maybe he will be a better person and a better coach because of this." But it kind of is I don't know who's a bigger POS, the head coach that doesn't care about his team or the guy that's recording the meeting.
What's this guy's name again? The coach?
Greg Gard.
If I was Greg Gard, I would tell Walt
McCrory?
McCrory. Yeah, I wouldn't talk to you either. You average 0.7 points per game.
Yeah, I only talk to guys that, you know.
Aren't you the walk-on here? Of course we don't have a relationship.
Well, don't you have to have a relationship? You only got 15 players.
Yeah, but he could take it or leave. He could take or leave Walt. Like, you know, 0.7 points per game. Of course I'm not going to talk to you.
No. Do you think
yeah, my face.
I don't care what
Let me check his box scores real quick.
Yeah, I'll bet you when I find a – I bet you the double-digit score feels differently about his and I's relationship.
Listen, the only time I'm going to talk to you is when I say I want fries with that.
Ooh, well, I don't know. He's in college.
A
maybe
further than I expected.
Maybe whatever his major is, he'll get a job in that.
I don't know. You don't know.
I'm looking at Walt. I don't think he'll be serving fries.
He ain't serving fries?
He don't look like the type. Just saying. Probably thinks it's beneath him. That's all. I'm pulling a Raheel when he talks about Kyle Tucker.
Oh, he's white privilege?
Yeah. Walt, you got to know. The coach has probably a limit on the guys he cares about. The guys who are in his rotation. And then the guys he's recruiting.
Yeah. But
not like, you, like Walt.
Walt, you know when I call for you? When we're up or down by 30.
Yeah, on senior day, you might get a start. Maybe. I don't know.
Please don't shoot either.
If I remember you, you might
please
get a start.
Don't shoot.
Yeah.
That's all?
Walt, I didn't ask for you to shoot.
Yeah, Walt.
No, there were 7 seniors. Walt ain't starting on that team.
Walt's a 2-time academic All-American.
But they average 0.7?
2-time academic. I didn't say.
Oh.
I actually, 2-time academic All-Big Ten. He's a 0.7 per game scorer. Did not score at all this past year.
Hey, Walt, you know why you were here? Keeping the grade point up. Grade point average up. That's
why.
I mean,
yeah, I got guys I'm trying to win with. Yeah. Walt, you're not one of them.
Walt, you ain't one of them.
Yeah.
Just get back into studying, Walt.
I don't think I'm ever going to talk to you. The coach is like, I don't even recognize you.
Talk to me.
Yeah. I don't even. You're on this team? Who are you?
I don't know who you are. Yeah. You understand this?
I thought you were the team manager.
Yeah, I thought you were some.
And you like to wear a uniform.
I thought you were some dude's friend who we brought in here.
Well, we know why you were here. Grade point average. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Just stop, Walt, with that whole I want to play thing.
Not even want to play. The guy's like, I don't think I'm ever going to talk to you. Walt, you know what? You're right about that.
Yeah, because you know what? You're going to be making billions of dollars. You ain't talking to me anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what Walt's major is, but I can understand not having a relationship with the guy who scores 0.7 points per game and didn't even score this year. Understood.
Yeah. Art says, hey, forward that article to Puma at HBU. Tell them to care a little bit and not just bark orders and spank them. That's not what Puma does.
Does he spank
bark
kids?
Bark orders and spank them. That's not how you head coach. Lance Berkman cares about his people, Art.
We'll find out.
No,
two years from now, there'll be a meeting about him.
And then there's an...
The kid who didn't get an at bat this year will say, I don't think I'm ever going to talk to you.
Good. Lance will go, good.
Man, I thought you'd never say that.
Well, I thought you'd never shut up.
I was hoping you would finally say that. Man, that's a load off my back.
And Art is a fountain of useless stories on the internet. Well, actually, there are okay stories. A second TV news reporter has lost their job because she went to Project Veritas. Just like last week, Ivory Hecker,
yeah.
A second news report.
Are her opinions stronger than Ivory's?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope she has a little bit more to go on than.
No,
I
remember
don't know.
Our jokes from last week about strong opinions. Would her opinions get her a job someplace else?
I don't think her strong opinions are going to get her anywhere
else. No, her opinions
aren't
that strong either.
I think she's going to be. She's going to be serving fries somewhere.
Look, people are thinking you're taking a shot at them, but you love fries. So,
oh, no, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
That is a compliment. No. You know what? And when Lance was talking about, I want an architect, I want a blueprint, all I could think of was that woman who had a blueprint of a sandwich.
Oh, my God.
All those women are looking terrible over the blueprints.
Are you though?
No, that's when you were talking.
No, he's not.
Yes, I am though.
Are you though?
Yeah. By the way, I saw that Jamel has a new job. She has a new show. Speaking of which, I'm Team Jamel.
You are Team Jamel. Are you gonna watch?
Of course, I'm gonna watch. I'm Team Jamel. What else? What else would I be?
What's the name of the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, thought you were Team Jamel.
I am Team Jamel, but I don't know what it's going to be or anything. I don't know any of the details. I didn't really even look to the story, but I just saw that she's got something new going on, which I was like, okay, good. That makes, I'm glad, Jamel's.
I wasn't ever worried
Jamel's
about
Jamel's got something.
Look, I know she had her fallout with ESPN. I wasn't ever really worried about her getting a new gig. She had established herself, and with people like you backing her, you knew she was going to be able to bounce back, John.
Right. I'm on Team Jamel.
She's bound to hit it big again with, you know, people like you on her side.
Yeah.
Are you on the Astros side today? I was looking at, yesterday was a little hiccup for the bats, right? Today, are we back to 10 runs?
Yeah. I mean.
In the sweep? Are we going to sweep again?
It's the Orioles. Yeah, we're going to sweep them. They suck.
The colors today, right?
They are really terrible. Really, really, really
awful. Who's today
awful.
On the ball?
No, it's Luis, isn't it? Isn't it Luis's turn?
Oh, no, yeah, it is Garcia's turn. Yeah. No. It's not. We're not already up in Luis, are we?
It's Urquidy time.
Yeah.
No, tomorrow is Garcia and then Fromber and then Lance. Lance just pitched the other day. Don't forget, we have a 12-man rotation.
Yeah, it's 20 and 20.
Don't forget.
It's a whole lot of greens.
This is the first 6-man rotation that this doesn't happen too often, guys. We're watching something that really doesn't. To have 6 starters, if Odorizzi throws like that, and I don't know, do you stick with it and let guys rest
well,
more?
Well, they're doing it. One of the reasons they want to do that, they say they're just going to do it for the 20, supposedly.
But if 5 days off now makes everybody stronger, and you see that, hey, if this continues to go really, really well, you're like, huh, maybe? Because, listen, when it went from a 4-man rotation to a 5-man rotation, people were like, ah, soft. A pitcher should pitch every fourth day.
Yeah, but that's before they had all the studies on arm stuff. And that was a long time ago. 5 to 6 doesn't make a lot of sense to me long term. You are taking your best pitchers and you're giving them less starts.
Unless it makes your pitchers stronger. Unless it makes them all better. If you get quality starts
really
out of
deep.
All of during
your
20-game run.
Your staff has to be incredible to do that.
Now, you will get days off where you are getting that fifth day off anyway. So,
yeah, so
with a 5-man rotation.
It doesn't really make sense. That's why the 6-man doesn't really make sense. And the only reason they're doing that is because it was a 20. Because they had the pitchers. I think they want to see what they have in every pitcher. Because there is some competition at the number 5 spot. And then, you know, this does, they're hoping it kind of limits the innings. And that is a real thing. They're bringing it up on the broadcast now. The amount of innings that Garcia is going to have to pitch, the amount of innings for Urquidy is going to be his highest number. Like, there, you know, Zach is an older pitcher. McCullers is McCullers. He's been down that road before. He's also been oft injured. And then Fromber, he started the season late, but when it's all said and done, he's going to get plenty of innings in as well. I just think I don't like anything that limits Fromber's starts. I don't think it's smart. I don't think you want to limit your best guys. But right now, the pitching is all pretty much relatively even across the board.
Okay. And now we got Urquidy today. In Detroit, you got Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, and Lance McCullers Jr.
That's a tough 3 to be thrown at
in
Detroit.
And you know and you know what? That might be the best 3 that they have. But yet, Greinke is probably your all star at 8-2.
Yeah.
If Odorizzi throws the way, well, you got Detroit. You got Odorizzi too, in the fourth game because you're playing 4 at Detroit. Then you got Greinke, Urquidy, and Garcia. Against Baltimore back here. Valdez, McCullers, Odorizzi. There's no let-up in this thing,
to
guys.
Me, no.
There's no let-up.
I think one of the things we're proving.
As long as Odorizzi throws the way he's thrown the last 2 times, there's no let-up in this rotation.
I wouldn't feel one single second bad about Odorizzi being in the bullpen, for sure now. Because now you have a guy who's looked good his last 2 times out, coming from the pen, who throws hard. Well, you know, pretty hard, pretty good fastball. And along with Javier, you keep the hot guy Garcia in, who's been on a roll. I know the flip side of that argument is, well, you don't want him to have too many innings, but I also don't know that I'm messing with the hot guy. I mean, Odorizzi has had 2 good performances in a row, one against the Baltimore Orioles, But Garcia has had a good long run right now. There's nothing that should tell you to take him out of the rotation other than you're trying to, you know, play games with the innings pitch. But you also don't want to mess around with his comfort level and his rhythm right now. I think that's something that you need to consider and at least think about. And then the flip side of the coin is also, you know, Urquidy is a guy that might end up finding himself in the bullpen. I don't think it's just about Garcia and Odorizzi. I think Urquidy is in the mix with those three guys as well, where you're going to find out. And maybe it's less about who's the starter and more about who's the best fit in the bullpen. Because honestly, that's more valuable.
And it
right
ain't
now.
Odorizzi. It ain't Odorizzi because he hasn't done it. And he's a veteran, and you know how Dusty thinks and how he thinks. It's between Urquidy and Garcia who's going to the pen.
I thought Odorizzi, didn't he have a pen when he came back? Didn't he have a pen?
Yeah, but that's just to get back into the groove. He's been a starter his whole career. So, and I think you know Dusty with the veteran thing. I think it's between Urquidy after the July 5th, when that day off, it'll be between Urquidy and Garcia who goes to the pen. 931 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I got to tell you about being a champion right now and Champion Energy. It's just so awesome, people. It's a locally owned and operated company, and if you're looking for the best way to get that electricity, I just got notified, hey, my contract is up. Let's go. You got to re-up and get yourself the best rate that you can possibly get out there with us. It's been fantastic for a dozen years now. I love Champion Energy. It has just been spectacular. Lock in your rate. Do it now. If your contract is up with yours, go with ours because you will love what they do. I'm telling you, everybody that I send them to, they're like, this is unbelievable how low this is and how they don't kill you with the rates. All you got to do is get to champion.energy/1560. Find out for yourself. champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 34 past on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So we got some callers here. Let's get them in here. 713-780-3776. Ocho wants to talk about the draft and the lottery. What do you say, Ocho?
Hey, what's good, man? Hey, y'all were talking about Jalen Suggs a little earlier. And one guy I'm a little higher on, and I think people are sleeping on a little bit, is Davion Mitchell from Baylor. And you were talking about Suggs earlier, and if he can, you know, play point in the NBA, I would rather just draft Mitchell. This guy is like Donovan Mitchell light, like 6'2", 205, all muscle. And, you know, we've seen him at Baylor. I mean, at least I did a lot of times. I just got to shoot from all levels, lightning quick off the dribble. And I think he's, you know, he's more likely to be a better point guard to me at the next level than Suggs. And as far as I have a baseball tape, and I may be overreacting here just a little bit because I'm a big fan of his, because I came up in baseball playing out of position and, try to translate into an outfielder. So I'm a big fan of Miles Straw, but I think we need to start acknowledging Miles Straw as one of the greatest baseball players of this generation. And I ain't gonna listen.
I agree wholeheartedly. Miles Straw has won me over. I'm again going to admit when I was wrong. Miles Straw is one of the great players in baseball
history.
Would
you say Miles Straw is, quote-unquote, the truth?
I don't know about the I don't know anything. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know. I don't know if I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
So every mock that I have seen, and somebody just said every mock they've had to Mobley for the Rockets. The majority do. I haven't seen that. I've seen Suggs and I've seen Green. And
based on what I know about the Rockets, it's more likely to be Green than Mobley.
And more likely to be.
Green or
Suggs.
Who's the ticket seller? Mobley or Green? Based on their games.
Green.
Yes.
Yeah.
They need some star. And, they need some flash.
And that's a bit of a redundancy with Christian Wood and Mobley. It's a bit of a – because most of their – they're tall, long. A lot of their game is inside, but they can also step outside. So that is a bit of a – I think Mobley would be a bit of a redundancy as far as the Rockets go. All of them, obviously, Cunningham, and then either Suggs or Green or Mobley, whatever. Then Mobley, then Suggs, and then Kuminga – is a lock at the Magic, it looks like, at five. He appears to be, Kuminga appears to be that number five guy. And then six is Scotty Barnes. And then everybody that I've seen has Davion Mitchell seven to the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Davion Mitchell there with, they're really guard heavy as it is. But, I mean, can you ever count on Clay anymore?
Well, if you're the Warriors,
yeah,
and you believe
really, how he hasn't been around,
I get that, but I think those are injuries that are. I don't know that they have necessarily long term effects.
Well, but it's the
people
injuries,
come back from ACLs. People come back from ACLs. All the time.
Number that's piling up now.
What is it, two? Right.
Yeah. Let's take. I mean, over the last how many seasons? How many games has he played?
Well, not many.
He was injured in the finals in 19, and then didn't play last year, and didn't play this year because he got hurt again. They showed pictures of him or images of him in their arena shooting the basketball. So at least he's on 2 feet. Not sure about lateral movement, but he has an Achilles and he had the ACL. So back to back, we've seen Kevin Durant come back from an Achilles and do just fine. So maybe a different guy, but maybe Achilles aren't the same career killers that they once were. The Warriors are a team that, speaking of Clay and injuries, aren't they a team that has a shorter windows? So wouldn't you be trying to use that pick to maximize and go get yourself a quality player to add to your group as opposed to like trade that pick for established player as opposed to banking or helping a rookie place? Well, because, hey, Steph is Steph, but maybe let's maximize how many years left you have with Steph in his prime.
Well, and let's face it, at seven with Davion Mitchell sitting there, if Davion Mitchell is sitting there, how long has it been since the seventh guy in the NBA draft has had much value?
So maybe you package Mitchell plus Wiseman for something? Or not with Mitchell, the seven pick plus Wiseman to try to go get yourself an established third star so you can say, hey, we're back looking for titles, not development.
Yeah, I still think, you know, these players who are drafted within the first 2 years, there is potential to move them much more frequently to shuffle the deck. I think Wiseman could be moved out of there in a heartbeat. You could see that. And if you're the Rockets, maybe that's the guy you would look at as part of a package deal and take on Wiseman and send them a guy like John Wall, kind of create a big three for them.
What is wrong with you?
Like a
two?
Wall Green. 'Cause you're right, you can't count on Clay. Wall, Green, Curry,
and
big three-ish.
Wall, Green,
Curry.
And Thompson?
Well, Curry is best off the ball.
Is he?
To me. Wall, Curry, let him run around off picks. You let Wall set things up and be the lead guard, and then you have Draymond Green. Boom.
It's funny you say
big three.
Lance, I'm getting confused by your nonsense. But, John, you said best seventh overall. What are the seventh overall pick? What do they ever do? Steph Curry was a seventh overall pick. Now, back in 09.
A while ago now.
Yeah, but it just so happens
But you didn't know that Steph Curry was going to be. Well, I mean, you didn't know Steph Curry was going to be
Steph Curry. Well, he shouldn't have been drafted behind Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio. I knew that at that time.
Yeah. But usually the NBA draft isn't. Listen, you could have a lot of good Kawhi. You can have a lot of really, really good players after that. You just don't know how valuable they are. I think Davion Mitchell has a lot of value after what we saw. That guy is, holy crap, strong and talented. And it's not like he came out of nowhere either. Now, he wasn't even considered the best guy on his team. And yet in the tournament, it was like, holy crap, Davion Mitchell is the man.
Yeah, I just wonder how the Warriors operate. Like, you had your title run. You had this interim period because of injuries and KD leaving. I think you would imagine they feel like, now Steph's only 31, but you imagine they feel like, hey, we probably got 2 to 3 years of this still where he's going to be an elite player as a small. Now he'll always be able to shoot, but quickness may dissipate a little bit as he gets older. Maybe we go all in. Who can we entice with the seventh and Wiseman, and maybe more? Who knows?
You could probably get a pretty good player.
Yeah, and you have to maybe make salaries work. You probably have to throw in Wiggins, who played better, but still he's got that Wiggins that Wiggins thing with him. But you have to, I think their team to look out for as far as shaking up the league by finding a guy to add to their guys.
Yeah, and I think John Wall is the perfect.
I feel like you guys are overestimating John. If you think John Wall's so great, why don't you want to keep him?
That's not it. You want John Wall here. You got to have
John Wall.
You need John
Wall.
John Wall.
Why do you keep trying to trade him?
We're not trying to trade him. We just think that if, in fact, we want to help Golden State out here.
Why? They've been your nemesis for years.
No, well, because remember, if it wasn't for Chris Paul, they would have felt really bad about themselves.
So you think your goal as a Rockets personnel man or even just a fan is to help the Warriors
help
out
the
of a
Warriors
situation
feel
by
better.
Giving them John Wall?
Yes.
I feel like there's an ulterior motive.
Yeah, well, says you.
Yeah, I know. I just said it. Yes, says me because I just said it.
Is this real, Eric? Can we take a call from Eric or is this going to be?
It's the Wong of the Erics.
It is the Wong of the Erics?
Yes.
Well, let's hear it then. I want to hear what.
That made it more likely for you to take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you never know. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys, I just have a quick question. Is there any truth to the Texans trying to get the rights to Houston Oilers logos and throwbacks? And also, when Warren Moon said he played with gay players, was he talking about Jeff Ohm?
John, do you want to take that?
You want to address either one of those questions?
I don't know how. I don't know how to answer. I
don't know. I don't know if. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Okay, so there's that.
What about the Oilers stuff?
No, they're not trying to be the Oilers. The Texans are not. Red, white, and blue versus Columbia blue? Stop. Deep steel blue and Liberty white and battle red?
This idea of somehow getting the Oilers back is never. Bud Adams' daughter has already said this is never happening ever, ever, ever. This is part of their history as a family. They are never giving their history away. It is never in a million years happening that Tennessee relinquishes their quote-unquote history to the city of Houston. It's just not happening. It's never going to happen. The Adams are never going to let it. They're not going to change their colors to powder puff blue or whatever. It's not happening. The Oilers are gone. Let them go. Let them go. I know deep steel blue isn't exactly the best thing in the world, but you know, it is what it is. Do they need a rebrand? Yes. Could they use a rebrand on everything? Absolutely. But the Oilers aren't going to be part of it. I have seen some cool throwback hats and things like that where they take oil derricks and then they trick them out in Houston Astros colors, and you know, I've seen them do some different things with like oiler type. Previous to Texans football type mindsets and done t-shirts and hats with that. And that's fine, but you're not getting the Oilers back. And frankly, once they left and said, we don't want you, I broke up with
them.
It's
20 years that the Texans have been here.
Yeah. They're not... I can understand not being in love with the Texans, though.
Why? How can you not love this team?
When did you love this team?
I mean, I've loved this.
I legitimately did.
I've loved this
in 11
team
when they had a running game. They had Andre Johnson. They had a dominant running game. They had some good veterans. They had a young J.J. Watt. Like, there was Antonio Smith was fun. I thought that was a fun team. I thought it was a really fun team, and it looked like one of those teams. You know, I got that vibe from the Rockets in the past where it was a dangerous team that you didn't want any part of. That was before I, you know, kind of knew how things would turn out late in playoff series. Astros, you had that when they were young and coming up. You could feel that this year with the Suns. You can feel it with some young teams like I'm trying to think of a young NFL team. Well, the Washington football team. You could feel it with San Francisco. You can feel it with Washington. Washington's on a come up right now if they can just figure out their quarterback position. I would love for the Texans. The Texans had that quality at about 2010-ish. They had a lot of tough losses. They had some young talent. You couldn't really see it. 11 immediately was a huge turn. 12, they were good. And then, like, by 13, they were a two-win season again. You know, it had all fallen apart. Your window was 2 years. That was what your win window was a two-year window. And other than that, and I guess with Bill O'Brien, it doesn't feel like it. It felt like it with Bill. I mean, with Gary Kubiak, I felt like, man, this is a team that's serious. These are teams that can get something done. And with Bill O'Brien, but they're winning 10 in a row, and I'm like, man, but is it a good 10 straight?
No, it was a horrible 10 straight. And 947 ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776, Lance's last segment coming your way next right here, and then we'll say goodbye to him somehow, some way. I don't know how. You didn't do it yesterday, by the way, Del.
Crumb bum.
Crumb bum. You crumb bum.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know if you can hear this in the background, but this whole show, I mean, like, I was trying to hear Dusty's, what, do you played sound yeah. coming back from Dusty?
He and just now
in
did?
The meantime, no, not just no. now. In the meantime, Lance has got the sound up of the little people, Hezbollah, and the what one?
Abdul Razik.
And now...
Abdul Razik is the guy that I don't think is getting enough attention in the Hezbollah, Abdul Razik, the viral potential fight. I know Hezbollah is a cute little guy and all that stuff, and he's funny. He's got a pet monkey. I mean, there's a lot of... He's worn a chef hat. I've seen him chopping things up, stands on cars to flex. I get it. But I don't think Abdul Razik has gotten the attention he deserves. And he's the other little
guy. I think
guy.
Both of them are getting way too much attention in your life.
No, not
appears to be
enough.
The case.
So
he don't think.
No, he just told me, this is the content I live for.
Yeah. Oh, two little guys squaring off like this, head to head. Like, I can't tell you how. We talked about it a long time ago.
Everything is better with a little person there.
It is.
It is.
It is.
It and just that's, is. And if you're in a, like you say, what, really? Oh, yeah. If you're in a bank line. It's just better.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's 100%. It 100%.
I don't think everything is better as a little person.
Though. All right.
Well.
What if you just had a grilled? Do you like grilled cheese, Dale?
Whatever. Take it or leave it.
You like grilled cheese with bacon in it?
I don't like. Yeah.
How about cheese?
Okay,
how about
like
a patty
chicken,
melt?
Okay. Do you like chicken sandwiches?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite chicken sandwich?
A spicy one.
Yeah. Okay. So just name
from,
a place.
Mico's? From where? Real?
You like Miko's?
I don't know. That's not a spicy chicken sandwich.
Do you like Miko's?
That's a chicken filet with some sauce on it.
Do you like Miko's?
Sure.
Okay. Let's say, and it's a brick and mortar now.
Correct.
Okay. Let's say you look back there and like, that's Hezbollah making my spicy chicken sandwich.
I would say.
You'd be like,
I would say, I hope he doesn't fall into the deep fryer.
You get your phone out. You immediately take a picture.
I don't take pictures of little
people.
Immediately
take a picture of a guy making a spicy chicken sandwich.
Let me give you a scenario.
Immediately you would.
Let me ask you your favorite scenario.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say your favorite scenario, as you've like been pretty clear about, at least fetish-wise, is feet.
I like pretty feet.
And you like pretty feet.
I don't want to do this.
If you look,
found the one thing. You found the one thing.
No, hold on. You had a setup scenario. Okay,
go ahead.
Let's say you have your choice of a lot of pretty feet, and it turns and you like look pretty feet there, pretty feet there. You keep going down the list. It's like women, but you don't even see them. You just see the feet, and then you go down and you see a little person and her feet exposed. Is it better?
Well, he likes pretty feet.
Hold on, I'm asking him. I'm asking him.
I feel like if I answer this, I could get in trouble. Either way.
Go ahead. What is it?
I mean, no.
What is it? Does it better?
That's not better.
All right, then. So you can't say just because a little person's there, it's better.
It's automatically better.
What about doing things?
It's automatically.
A little person's little feet are better?
What do you have there, John?
It's...
Yes. That's not great, but
see, I found
yes.
You, I just found you a scenario where it isn't
that's
better.
That's not fair. You, how, why you not? Mixed. You
I,
mixed.
I
things.
Found your favorite thing, like you found mine.
Okay, it has to be a mundane thing, like that you'd see every day.
You don't see feet every day?
I don't see little people feet. No,
I don't see little people making my chicken sandwiches
but
every day.
But if you did, it would be incredible.
Why?
It's because it would. Dale.
Okay,
why?
It would. I'll watch it.
What?
A little person twerk on this little car.
A little
and
car.
It, is it in good? A bikini, and it can't be better.
Mm. Is it good?
It's
because you don't
awesome.
You don't see that often.
You don't ever see this.
Would it be better?
I don't think it's
but
bad.
But then she stuck her
I
face
like
into the regular person's
world.
Butt.
And, I'm sorry that you are exclusive.
Yeah. I just
inclusive.
Gave you a
I'm
scenario.
Inclusive. I'm inclusive.
I gave you a scenario, and you didn't like it.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's a lot going on in that video that you got, John. I can't do a show if you're going to show me this video.
Wait, you got to watch. You got to wait for the payoff here.
Oh,
the little person, the big person starts twerking, and the little person puts her face right.
The little person, look how strong she is.
I know. Look at her. She's doing push-ups. Like it's unbelievable. She's awesome.
Not a pancake
now watch
either,
this.
Dale.
See, that the face goes in there.
Dale, there's so much to see in these videos. I don't know. I just know if Hezbollah was doing or Abdurazik were doing something beside fighting each other or making videos where they're flexing with pet monkeys and cars. Mm. Now, I will admit, I also loved Webster when I was a kid. I
yeah,
loved
do
Webster.
You have a
I
fetish
loved Arnold
for little
Drummond.
People?
I was also a little broken up to find out how old Arnold actually was. But I was big fans of theirs too. So this has just been a carryover thing for me that I think it's entertaining. I think. If you're an entertainer, it doesn't matter what size you are. If you're a chef, it doesn't matter what size you are. If you make chicken sandwiches and whatnot, to me, it doesn't matter. If it's a big person, a little person, I don't
you
care
you
what
it
you
made it sound like a little person making a sandwich would be better. You said you
I'm
just
saying
said
it wouldn't be worse.
You said
well,
you said everything is
it's stuff I just don't see.
Hmm.
Pitching BP.
I don't think about it. Like, okay, this little person throwing a baseball.
Were you the one who ever made those noises when Kyler Murray threw? Or
no,
that
was
Raheel
who made okay. those. Raheel and John loved those noises.
Mm.
When Kyler Murray threw a football.
Eh.
Yeah, that eh. noise. Yeah. Is it better when you watch Kyler Murray play football?
Oh, that was Johnny. That was Johnny Manziel.
Wee!
Running when he around. Used to run around. Johnny used to run around.
Yeah, Johnny was kind
Johnny,
of
yeah.
little
He's
guy
not
quarterback.
A little person.
He
was kind of a little guy quarterback.
No, but he is.
If you're under 200 pounds, you're a little guy.
We would be watching the Aggies, and my wife would be going, look at him.
Wee! Your Johnny. Wife said that?
She used to do that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. We love Johnny. And then, you know, Johnny
did other things.
Did stuff. Yeah, other stuff. So that didn't
so
work out that well.
We found out. That if you give Lance little views of little people, it'll be great for him.
No, well, it's bad for the
and
show.
Distracting for the show.
It's bad for the show.
It just depends on what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And John saw it's hard when you get a video like John just got. It makes it tough to, like, oh, the Astros rotation. I wonder if the Rockets are going to draft Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs. Please don't let it be Mobley. Oh wow, look at what I just got.
Yeah.
You see how easy it is to pull you off
is,
the tracks?
It is. But you get distracted by Hezbollah all the time.
No, and it's not like Hezbollah distracts me from everything. But I'm also equally distracted by Abdurazik because what's happened is these two guys are like Chechenian or Russian or whatever, and they have handlers, and it's almost like, I mean, it's a weird relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to match them up to fight, and I feel like... Am I part of something bad? They're matching up little people to fight. Am I part of the problem?
It's all
Am
I part of the problem that I can't wait to see these two little guys scrap? Like, maybe I'm part of an exploitive culture.
Well, you're multiple views because you've seen the same things how many times? And you have to show, look. And they go,
I know.
And so
it's the same.
You add up the views for that. And so what do they continue to do? Yeah, exploit them. They continue to exploit him. So this is definitely on you. If you watch porn, guess what? Porn continues.
Yeah, that's true. But if you watch reality TV and you can't stop watching reality TV and you're watching these trash shows, then it's on you.
Yeah.
Then it's also on you. Like you're part of a culture and you say, I just can't. This trash. Our society's gone to hell. What's going on with The Bachelor? Are they going to find real love today? You're worse than I am for watching two little guys scrap. You're 100%.
Look at you rationalizing.
I don't watch The Bachelor.
You've got it in your house. Your wife is kind of responsible for it.
Yes. I can't be in the same room.
Sorry, Nikki.
Yeah. What are you saying, Lance?
Yeah.
Nothing. Are you talking about one of the most valuable properties in the Disney lineup?
Yeah, I would never, I would never ever say that.
You know what you are, Lance?
What?
Crumb bum. You crumb bum.
Huh?
You crumb bum.
I can't say it because I'm Mickey, but this girl has the right idea.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa. All aboard the straw train. The haters are in absolute shambles.
Yeah.
Because Miles Straw is killing it.
The haters.
He is.
You need to keep Miles Straw's name up out your mouth.
I am going.
That's 642. No,
Miles Straw is playing great. Good for him. I love it. Continue to hit well, Miles Straw.
648 I love OPS that you, never looked yes, so dangerous.
Yes. I love that you were playing well. Yes. I was wrong. Yes. Keep going, Miles Straw. Keep proving me wrong. I love it. He's come up with some big hits lately. Some really big hits. Oh, why, Lance? Somebody's sending feet, right? Oiled
That's
up.
Gross.
Pretty feet, oiled up and ready to go, Lance.
No, gross.
Yes. Wow.
I like pretty feet.
Nice job, Matt Holcomb. He's out of Houston National right now with a Coors Light in his hand.
Who was Matt Holcomb?
Matt Holcomb's just a listener.
One of your friends?
No, he's been a long time listener.
I want to say he was an intern at one point.
Was he?
Hmm.
He's got a Coors Light. He's got cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, and on a golf cart at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Is that a little early?
I love that. No.
That's funny.
I told you before, Del.
You just asked John that question.
You can't be drunk all day unless you start in the morning.
Why? But I know you say that, but should that be a goal for people?
Yes,
to be
it should
drunk
be a goal for
day?
Everyone. Everybody's got to have goals, Del.
And that
not like
be
you,
one?
Just to get home and nap.
That's a goal? What do you mean? Why is that not
that's
a goal?
That's not a goal.
You
that's
think
not a goal.
Being drunk all day is a goal?
Yes.
Getting home to nap, I got to survive 45 South when I'm drowsy? That's a goal?
Yes. No, that's not a goal.
Yes, it is.
That's
and
not squad
And I do
goals.
It every day. Well, it's not squad goals. It's Dell goals. Yeah, you're right. I don't want
to
snap with
survive?
Other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, to survive 45.
Go practice your pitching or your putting or something. Okay?
What
instead
if,
of napping
what
all
if
day.
A little person
get
was,
better
what if
at
a little
something
person
other
was
than
putting?
Sleep.
What if a little person was putting? Would that be better?
That'd be awesome. No. It's
Do
better.
Do you have to ask?
It's better.
You guys are trash people is what
10:01 ESPN 97.5. Beat it, Lance.
Okay.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.